Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Bharat Petroleum Corporation Limited Q2 FY24 results conference call hosted by Antique Stock Broking. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that the conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Varatharajan Sivasankaran from Antique Stock Broking. Thank you and over
Thanks.
To you, sir.
Yeah, thank you, Akshay. Good afternoon, everyone. It's my pleasure to welcome all the participants as well as the management of BPCL to this results conference call. From the management side, we have Mr. V.R.K. Gupta, Director of Finance, Mr. Pankaj Kumar, ED Corporate Finance, Mr. Srividya, CGM Corporate Treasury, and Mr. Rahul Agrawal, Senior Manager, Pricing and Insurance. We would request Mr. Gupta to give a short brief on the results, and then we can move on to the Q&A. I would like to hand over the call to Mr. Gupta now.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Mr. Varatharajan. On behalf of the BPCL team, I welcome you all to this post-Q2 result con call. Before we begin, I would like to mention that some of the statements that we will be making during this con call are based on our assessments of the matter, and we believe that these statements are reasonable. However, their nature involves number of risks and uncertainties that may lead to different results. Since this is a quarterly result review, please restrict your questions to the Q2 results. I now request our Director of Finance, Mr. V.R.K. Gupta, who is leading the BPCL team for this call, to make his opening remarks. Thank you and over to you, sir.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome. Hope you are able to go through our results for the quarter gone by. Before talking through the BPCL results, let me touch upon the macroeconomic factors. High and volatile energy prices, the ongoing geopolitical tensions, persistent supply bottlenecks and surging inflation have emerged as a major concern for the global economy. Crude oil prices continue to remain volatile due to the recent Israel-Hamas war. The Indian basket of crude oil has increased substantially during the quarter to quarter from $77.71 per barrel to $8 per barrel due to extension of crude production cuts by Saudi Arabia and Russia till December, and the rupee has been hovering around 82-83 range. IMF retained its global growth forecast for 23 at 3%, however revised it downward to 2.9% for 24, and India's GDP grew by 7.8% in Q1 and is expected to be in the range of 5.7-6.7% for FY23-24 according to various agencies. Moving to BPCL performance, our refineries have continued their stellar performance on both physical and financial parameters during this quarter. Bina Refinery went for a planned shutdown in the month of July. However, we were able to maintain the throughput for all three refineries put together at 9.35 MMT for the quarter, which is at 105% of the nameplate capacity. Even one refinery has gone shutdown. Distillate yield was at 84.06% during the quarter, again at 85.73% in the same quarter last year, due to shutdown at Bina Refinery. Percentage of high sulfur crude processing in refineries, it was 75% during the quarter, again at 73% in the same quarter last year. The capacity utilization for PDPP plant at Kochi Refinery was around 73% during the quarter. Kochi Refinery processed two new grades of crude, taking the total crude basket to 108 grades. There was sharp increase in fuel cracks during the quarter due to global supply dynamics and geopolitical issues. The HSD Singapore cracks increased to $28.8 per barrel in Q2 from $15.5 per barrel in Q1, and MS Singapore at $13.2 per barrel in Q2 from $12.07 per barrel in Q1. Accordingly, BPCL's reported GRM of $18.49 per barrel for Q2, again at $12.64 per barrel in Q1. This is before factoring the impact of special additional excise duty and road and infrastructure levied with effect from 1st July 2022. On marketing side, shift of volumes back to private players have resulted in lower growth in MS for PSU industry and degrowth in HSD. However, BPCL has registered healthy growth in core retail fuels by gaining a market share of 0.36% and 1.82% in MS and HSD respectively among PSUs. On overall basis, there was sales growth of 6.5% during the quarter year-on-year basis. The main products MS, HHD, LPG and ATF registered a growth of 4.1%, 1.1%, 2.3% and 2.3% respectively. However, the industrial products have been grown at a 33%. We estimate that the retail MS demand growth will be similar for the rest of FY23-24. Our demand for HHD and other fuel sensitive to industrial activity are expected to grow at modest rate. We plan to add around 1,000 new retail outlets during 23-24. During first half, we have added 300 new retail outlets. We have recently issued advertisement for 14,273 new retail outlets spread across the country for capturing more markets and increasing our presence. We would like to highlight some of our marketing initiatives during this quarter. To strengthen supply chain in eastern part of country, we have commissioned Bokaro Depot in Jharkhand with a capex of around 250 crore. We are in process of opening three new depots in northeastern states to strengthen our supply chain and increase our presence in NE. KSPPL LPG pipeline from Kochi refinery to Palakkad terminal with a length of 150 km was successfully commissioned. Our co-branded SBI credit card has reached to a customer base of 2.9 million cardholders. We have rolled out the Quality Challenge Zero Ka Dam initiative with the aim of guaranteeing that all cylinders in the market, LPG cylinders, are entirely free from defects, which would help in improving trust among the customers and also enhance process efficiency in the value chain. To drive inclusivity, BPCL launched Silent Voices, the path-breaking initiative in collaboration with Youth for Jobs, to promote inclusivity at selected retail outlets in Phase 1 on 15th August 2023, which will pave way for inclusion of speech and hearing impaired people as DSMs or DSWs at retail outlets. And our gas business, construction in our 25 GAs is in full swing. Out of proportionate minimum work program target of 8488-inch-kilometer pipeline, till 30th September 2023, we have already crossed the MWP targets and completed 16,815-inch-kilometer of steel pipeline, and we have completed 452 CNG stations against MWP target of 119 CNG stations. In our geographical area, where we got authorization under various CGD bid rounds. However, we are lagging on PNG connection. The commercial sales have started in 24 GAs till date out of 25 GAs what we got. We currently dispense CNG in 1640 retail outlets, and further by the financial year end, we aim to add another 500 CNG facilities in our existing MSHD retail outlets. In line with our BPCL commitment for net zero at scope 1 and scope 2 level emissions by 2040, we have taken up multiple projects in solar and wind energy. During the quarter, 18 megawatt solar plant at Bina Refinery was commissioned. As on date, we have total installed renewable energy capacity of around 64 megawatt, and we have projects in progress for about 190 megawatt with an estimated capex of around 1400 crore in various locations across the country. And our aim is to reach 1 gigawatt in the short term. We are also in process of setting up a green hydrogen production unit and refueling station at Kochi to supply green hydrogen to buses. We also have plans to put up around 26 CBG plants in the short term. We have approached various municipal authorities for the same. As briefed in the previous con call, our board has approved a downstream petrochemical complex and refinery expansion project at Bina Refinery with a capital outlay of 49,000 crores. We are pleased to inform you that Honorable Prime Minister on September 14 laid the foundation stone for this project. As part of our brand promotion activities, we have brought on board cricketing legend and current head coach of the Indian cricket team, Mr. Rahul Dravid, as the dynamic new face of our BPCL brand. Rahul Dravid, fondly known as Mr. Dependable, is not only a cricket legend, but also a symbol of dedication and honesty. BPCL as a brand defines honesty and dependability as its core virtues, qualities that are essential to succeed in cricket, in business and society in general. Finally, let me brief on the financial performance. We have achieved highest ever profit after tax for half year at 19,052 crores. For quarter two, the revenue from operations stood at 1,16,595 crore. The profit after tax stood at 8,501 crore, mainly due to better crude mix coupled with higher refining cracks. The negative buffer of LPG as on 31st March 2023, about 849 crore, has been recovered fully, and the current buffer is positive. We have a CapEx target of around 10,000 crore for the full year. We have achieved already 5,191 crore CapEx during first half year. Our gross borrowings as of 30th September stood at 22,568 crore as compared to 27,939 crore as on 30th June 2023. Sequentially, quarter on quarter, there is a reduction of around 5,000 crore of borrowings. Also, we have cash and cash equivalents of 5,028 crore and bank balances of around 11,000 crore and other investments including oil bonds, we have around 6,179 crore. Our consolidated gross borrowings stood at 47,520 crore as on 30th September. The debt equity ratio as of 30th September 2023 is 0.032 as compared to 0.45 as of 30th June 2023 on gross borrowing basis. Our standalone net worth as of 30th September has increased to 70,328 crore with a book value per share as of 30th September is 324 rupees. The earning per share for the half year was 89.47. I now invite for questions and for any clarification. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handset while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Probal Sen from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity and thanks for hosting the call. Just a couple of questions. One was with respect to the GRM performance, and congratulations on this kind of strength being shown. Just wanted to understand if you can just explain to us where this outperformance against every Asian benchmark is coming from, specifically if we look. And thankfully you disclosed refinery-wise performance as well. The kind of gap between, Bina refineries, GRMs, versus any other refinery in India is pretty stark. So if you can just get some handle, sir, on where this outperformance is coming from, whether it's coming from favorable crude mix, or there is some inventory gain also, which you may or may not disclose, but are those basically the factors that are driving this?
Two parts I will explain about this refining margins. The quarter gone by July to September, everyone is aware the crack itself has improved compared to sequential quarter. The diesel cracks have been significantly improved during this second quarter. That is the first thing, actually all the refining margins have improved. The second, mainly for the Bina refinery in terms of refining GRM point of view, our refinery at Bina can take high sulfur grades up to 90% or 95% range we can process high sulfur grades. And in product slate also, if you see in the Bina refinery, we can take a very big swing in terms of MS and HHD. Our HHD production, we can take up to 57% of product slate, we can take it as a HHD. When diesel cracks are very high, we can take up to 57%. It also helps for the GRM swap Bina refinery. And the major other influencing factor for Bina refinery is our crude mix. When we see the crude mix, the higher crude intake of Russian Urals, where competitively the product costing is comparatively lesser as compared to other grades, this also helped the higher refining margin in Bina. And even Cochin also, if you see the Cochin also, the product slate in terms of diesel, we can take up to 45% of diesel production. And there also we can process more Russian Urals. Where the competitive pricing we got from the Russian Urals accordingly, these 3-4 influencing factors, it has improved the refining margins.
Perfect. So that's very useful. If I can ask a small follow-up, is it possible to give us a sense of diesel, gasoline and ATF, these three, would be roughly how much of our overall product yield as a percentage? Just a half sense would do. Okay. Or Bina, Kochi, or overall, whatever you want to share.
Okay, roughly you can take Bina 57% and Kochi we can take up to 45% and Mumbai also we can take 45%.
That's for diesel. I'm saying that diesel, gasoline and ATF combined.
Okay, okay. We'll share.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sumit Rohra from Helios. Please go ahead.
Hi sir. Firstly, many congratulations on on a superlative performance. I mean, you know, I'll just take a few minutes, sir. You have actually paid 6,300 crore tax, which today companies are not even reporting on revenue. So, many congratulations on a superlative performance, and it's clearly showing that BPC as a company is going to new heights. Now, sir, I have a few things, which I would like to, bring to your attention and a few suggestions, rather, I would like to talk about. Sir, firstly is that, this government, inflow or whatever was, spoken about, there are press reports stating that, the oil companies don't need that. So, a clarification to that level, should be issued with immediate effect that, there is no need for this because we are virtually now a debt-free company, management, should also consider, paying out dividend because I believe IOC, our peer company is also meeting for results and, paying out dividend tomorrow. And, sir, I have a suggestion that, we should also focus on buyback of shares, because sir, I would like to highlight this to you that today, in the public sector universe, there are 72 or 75 companies, and all the public sector companies in India today have got re-rated except for the oil marketing companies. Okay, now please hear me very carefully. All the public sector companies in India have gone up by 3x to 5x in the last 3 years, but unfortunately, the oil marketing companies in the public sector space are actually down by 50 to 60%. So there is absolutely no reason for this to happen. It is purely a perception and related issues, which is basically clouding, this sector. And in fact, this sector is doing the best. Today, sir, it is absolutely unthinkable that a company of BPCL's caliber is trading at a 3 PE. I repeat, Bharat Petroleum cannot trade at 3 times price to earning ratio after having an ROE of 25. BPCL along with, Indian Oil and along with HPCL are one of India's best companies which are a part of the Fortune 500 companies globally. And there is no reason to say that these companies should trade at 3 to 4P. But the perception is a problem, and the perception can be cleared, with the help of you and the other companies and the government of India, and these companies will re-rate significantly. So, sir, I really would, request you to please focus on integrated margins rather than focusing on refining separately, marketing separately, because, it is being construed very negatively, because people are then, digressing and talking about, refining miss, marketing beat, vice versa. And, the company is not realizing its true intrinsic value. So my humble suggestion, to the management of, a Fortune 500 company along with the government is please focus on integrated margins. Please focus on, creating wealth for shareholders in terms of liberal dividends and buyback. Because we have been a good corporate citizen. We have saved the country when, their times were tough. But we should also focus on the investors. And I sincerely wish you all the best. You have done an exemplary job. And I do not have any more questions to tell you, but only a few suggestions that investors should truly recognize the true value of this company, because today this company is owned by the government. So if this company re-rates, it benefits the people of India, So I humbly suggest that, please consider a buyback of shares with immediate effect and liberal dividend payouts, and please, sir, focus on integrated margins because it will do a world of good to you. I wish you all the best. Good luck and God bless you, sir.
Thank you for all your suggestions. We have noted down. Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Mayank Maheshwari from Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, sir. Firstly, thank you for doing the call. Couple of questions from my end. I'll just start with a bit on the capital allocation side. If you can kind of give us a bit of a big picture view around how are you thinking over the next 3 years in terms of total capital and capex deployment. You talked about the petrochemical complex. You talked about the new energy side. Can you just give us a sense of how we will be deploying the capex over the next 3 years and what kind of returns are you kind of expecting out of that? Thank you.
Yeah. You may be aware in our earlier con call also, even in the AGM also, we have announced certain various major projects. Our capital outlay for the next 5 years, we have workload around 1,50,000 crore. The major chunk of this capital outlay will go for refinery and petrochemicals, around 49,000 crore. Already we have announced one petrochemical complex at Bina. and around 26,000 crore it will go for exploration and production. Already there are two blocks we have in Brazil and Mozambique. Already there are certain commitments. It requires around 26,000 crore. And marketing infrastructure and pipelines, we have planned around 25,000 crore next 5 years. And for the CGDs where we have got to around 25 GAs, where the capital outlay requirement is around 26,000 crore. And we are planning around a minimum 2 gigawatt of renewables where the capital outlay we have allocated 12,000 crore. And other mainly for equity investment in various JV companies and various ROIs we have to take for pipelines, around 13,000 crore we are going to spend. Around 150,000 crore already we have announced major projects in the next 5 years. This is only the projects what we have announced in terms of the net zero ambitions where we want to reach by 2040, we want to become a net zero. There we have assessed what is the total carbon emissions as of date. The carbon emissions will be around 10 million metric ton currently, and with the new project it will go up to around 16 million metric ton. It requires additional around 95 to 1 lakh crore of capex requirement. That we are not yet to plan the phasing of this additional requirement. Otherwise, this 150,000 crore, we have a capital outlay for the next 5 years. In terms of the returns, generally, BPCL, we don't take any projects if the returns are not reasonable. We always, our endeavor is to take good projects with good returns.
And sir, I think just on the focus on the petrochemical side, obviously you talked about last time in the conference call of integrating and how it will work with the Bina side.
Right.
But now we are starting to see even Petronet yesterday basically come out and said that they are trying to do a PDH plant as well. So from a timing perspective, execution perspective, as well as how will you differentiate as BPCL in your petrochemical side, can you just give us a bit of a subjective view around that?
Yeah, in case if you see the petrochemical segment, the product portfolio is wide. When Petronet LNG, they are planning for PTH, in our product portfolio, PTH is not there. So our product portfolio is polypropylene and HDPE, LDPE and certain benzene and toluene grades. So I don't think it creates any competition between Petronet LNG and BPCL. At least whatever project we have envisaged, that is a different product portfolio as of today.
Got it. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sabri Hazarika from MK Global. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, sir, and congratulations on good numbers. So I have three questions. The first one is on your balance sheet. Your, I think your creditors as well as other current liabilities both have gone up significantly, which has led to this cash generation. So any specific reason behind that? Anything like any one-offs, or do you think it is sustainable?
Generally, creditors always, when you compare with March 23 and September 23, there is one major element called excise duty. For March 23, the excise duty we pay before 31st March, whereas for September, we have at least 3-4 days time to make the payment. The payment will happen in October. That is the real year-end and quarterly, if you see, always there is a gap of around 7,000 crore excise duty liability. That is the one reason, major variation. And the creditors, it all depends on the what inventories we have procured. Otherwise, the credit terms are same only. Sometimes the inventory position is going up. Maybe latest cargoes are available with that, where the payment is not made, which is not due. Not made means which is not due. It appears in the and the creditors. These two are the major reasons. Nothing abnormal.
So this is like your net debt has actually become zero with all this. So
we can interpret on a standalone basis, not exactly zero, but closer to that target.
But is there any guidance of whether it can remain at zero, or do you think? I mean, of course, like not counting for the new projects, but if everything remains same, it will remain at these levels, or do you think there will be some?
Let us hope for the best, because many things we cannot predict how the crude prices will move. Another thing.
Okay, sir. And no Russian payments are held up, right? That has been like made completely.
No, as of today, nothing is there beyond the duration.
Okay, sir. And the second part of the question is basically on your renewable side. So can you give us some sense on what is the kind of like profitability per EV charging stations you are making right now that you've got a sizable inventory of EV charging stations? So what kind of profitability is that? And second question is whether the green hydrogen tender of Bina Refinery has been awarded, or it is still under deliberation. These are the two second questions. Thank you.
Yeah. One is on the EV charging station side, the capital outlay is not a very big amount. And comes to the profitability, we are not expecting any good profits immediate basis. But at the same time, we want to create the infrastructure for long-term perspective. So as of date, if you ask that the capacity utilization of EV charging stations are retail outlet, very, very minimal. So we cannot estimate what will be the profitability immediately, but the objective of putting investment in this particular infrastructure is for a long-term basis. And second question is green hydrogen. Green hydrogen, we have refloated the tender for 5 metric ton per annum. Not yet awarded, the tender is in the process. Bina.
Okay, so thank you so much and all the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Kirtan Mehta from BOB Capital Markets. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir, for giving this opportunity. Regarding the Mozambique project, could you give us the current status and when do you expect the... Has the CapEx been finalized by the owners and how the progress you anticipate on the project?
For Mozambique project, there is no change in terms of the force measure. Still, it is under force measure only. In terms of the revised project, there were discussions at the operating level committee at a group level, but not at final level, what would be the revised project cost and what would be the time range for lifting of the force measure. We are hopeful, shortly, maybe next couple of quarters, something can, positively it can happen. We are hoping that.
Right. And in terms of the 18,000 crore right issues, has the plan for investment formed up around that?
Yeah, that is there. Already we have submitted our application to SEBI. Just we are waiting certain approvals from the ministry and SEBI. According to this program is on, as of it.
Sure. And would you be able to give us some more color on the Russian crude usage in terms of the quarterly usage? Are we able to maintain a similar level in Q3 despite the increase in the crude prices?
I cannot give exact numbers, we cannot share, but at least in the similar quarters, what potentially we can process the Russian crude, I think we are closer to our potential crude processing. All three refineries put together.
Right, sir. Thanks. Thanks for this clarification.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ajay from Nuvama Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. Congratulations on good set of numbers. Just want to get a sense in terms of, after such a fantastic quarter, how are things shaping up in the current quarter so far in the month of October, meaning in terms of the cracks? Are we seeing similar cracks and how do you see that progressing on the marketing side as well?
At least in terms of the cracks, the gasoline a little bit moderated now compared to the Q2. Gas oil still it is commanding good cracks. Still it is as of day 28-30 levels. But a little bit going forward, the cracks are not showing that much of strength in terms of gasoline. But still we are hopeful the cracks will be commanding at a higher level only, except gasoline. We have to wait and see how the particular market movements happens after the winter, how the product demand goes for RLNG and what is the shift happens from RLNG to diesel. Accordingly, the cracks will be decided. But as of date, still we are commanding good cracks.
And on the marketing side, sir?
Marketing side, we are doing good growth. We are not expecting very good growth in terms of diesel. The diesel growth we are expecting a moderated level, but MS growth will continue.
So broadly, in terms of the profitability, say suppose things stay where they are right now for rest of the quarter. Broadly, whatever we have delivered in Q2, more or less, there can be a little bit of subdued, but you don't see a major decline as such, right, for the current quarter.
We generally don't give any guidance, but otherwise, based on the current crude prices, a little bit worry is there, but it is not alarming.
So I'm saying we are not expecting some major decline as such, right?
We cannot give any guidance, please.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of S. Ramesh from Nirmal Bank Equities. Please go ahead.
Thank you and good evening. So if you look at the marketing inventory gains, how do you explain the reversal from the loss in first quarter to the marketing inventory gain of close to 1497 crores since there is no change in the retail price? Just wondering how you have been able to book that inventory gain.
No, generally, it is not any accounting gains. If you see, on an average, when we maintain average 40,000 crore of inventory, on every 15 days, if the particular marketing RTP changes based on the crude pattern,
So just we want to highlight and calculate and inform to the shareholders how much in the entire profitability, what is the impact of the price increasing or decreasing impact on the profitability. So there is no separate gains we recognize at the end of the period end. This is during a particular period on account of my crude price movement and product price movement, what with the changeover of my inventory, opening inventory impact on my sales, on the profitability. That is what we work out and we give an additional information. How much on account of this inventory movements, inventory price movements, it has helped in the profitability.
Okay. So if you look at your CDD business, you made very impressive progress. So is it possible to give us some kind of timeline as to when we can see the commercial results in your standalone P&L, and what is the kind of EBITDA per unit of gas, and what is the kind of volume you expect to sell in your 24 GAs instead of one commercial operation say for the next 2 to 3 years? Is it possible?
At this point of time, we will not be in a position to give any estimations on the volume sales of CGD. What we can say is that in terms of creating the infrastructure, in terms of reaching the MWP, we have worked out in full swing and we are achieving all the MWP targets except the PNG connection. But definitely if you see our presence in CNG, the number of forwards are going up. Slowly, slowly, the volumes will pick up. At this point of time, very difficult to say what would be the volume size because we have to wait and see how much of vehicle conversion happens in those markets. We need some more time to assess exactly in next couple of years what will be the volume pickup.
So I might squeeze in one last thought on CGD. Once you have the entire 25 GAs in place, what is the final target for the number of CNG stations in the 25 GAs?
I have the ready number for the current year. We will share full CGD should.
Yeah, again. Thank you very much, sir. Thank you. Have a good day.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Chinmay from Canara HSBC Life Insurance. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for taking my question. So my question is on the working capital side, you did explain the nitty-gritties of excise duty. Well, you mentioned basically the payment happens in October versus not in September. So what will be the quantum of this payment related to the excise duty?
Generally, every month we pay around 7,000, around 7,000, 7.2, 7.3 around. Depends on the refinery throughput on that particular month. Around 7,000 crore you will pay.
Okay, so once that payment has been made, so your cash would have gone down by around that quantum, right? Around 7,000 crore.
Right.
Yeah. If I also look at the balance sheet, there is a stark movement in two of the current liability side, and one would partially be attributed to the 7,000 crore which you mentioned, that is maybe sitting in the other current liabilities. But even other tax liabilities net is around 4,400 crore, which was almost zero as of March 23. So can you help us understand this?
If tax liabilities, these are different tax liabilities you are referring, I think.
But it was zero as of 31st March 2023.
That is direct tax, it's income tax. That is income tax. Income tax March 23, since our profitability is very low, our advance tax, what we have paid is sufficient to meet the liability. Whereas for this particular, during this year, the 6 months profit, but our advance tax payment is on a lower side.
Okay, fair enough. That's it from my side.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Maulik Patel from Equirus Securities. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. Sir, on the refining side, is it that till the time we process this, any whatever the Russian oil which we are processing it, currently we are running it in a full optimized level? We cannot process more than that what we are currently doing it?
At least we are pushing up to the potential level. What we can process Russian Urals, we are taking.
That could be almost 30-40% of our total intake?
Roughly all three refineries put together, that range.
That's the range. And that range has been there for the entire Q2, right? I think it was lower in Q1.
I'm not clear, please.
We were utilizing the Russian crude at a full potential in this the Q2 quarter.
Yeah.
Was the similar number there was for the Q1 also?
Yeah, same number. There is no major change. There is no significant changes. Maybe 2-3% here and there. Otherwise, we maintain the same.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Probal Sen from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity again, sir. It's just a follow-up question in terms of the capital deployment plans that you mentioned. You know, in terms of the Mozambique and Brazil plans, obviously, as you mentioned, those will entirely depend on whether the force majeure is essentially lifted. And if we assume that in the next month or within this financial year, the force majeure is lifted and work actually begins, then what kind of timelines can we look at for the completion of at least the first two trains at Mozambique, assuming that the force majeure is lifted by the end of this financial year? Any sense you can give us?
Already got that financial year.
So Mozambique, as per the original plan which was done, the construction, the first LNG cargo was to come out in around 42 months. So
42 months from the FID, sir?
Yes, FID. So yes, that's right. So therefore, what's happening is now, of course, we will have to reassess. Some of the pre-construction work was carried out before the force majeure was announced. So once the force majeure is lifted, around that time, the operator and the consortium will reassess their plans and would actually reassess the time for the first cargo. But this is the timeline which I am indicating is at the time of taking of the FID. So around a similar time is what we can expect.
Got it. Sir, if I, one more thing is that given the disruptions that have happened and the delays that have happened, we read some reports that some of the subcontractors have been asking for a significant increase in the associated costs. And therefore, do you expect any major escalation in the overall project cost versus what, you know, the consortium had estimated maybe 2 years ago? Is that a fair way to look at it?
So as of now, the contracts with the EPC, EPCI contractors are preserved insofar as the contractual commitment is concerned. But yes, there is a possibility, strong possibility of reviewing the pricing or the commercial terms. And therefore, a price review would definitely be forming part of the entire review. It would also be encompassing in what phase and in what manner do we want to carry it forward. So it will be a holistic review which will happen at the time of uplifting of the force majeure. Obviously, the commercials also would be a consideration in that regard.
Understood. So one last bit from me. Out of the 260 billion, therefore, how much is basically the E&P, pure E&P capex for Brazil, and how much is for the contribution to the Mozambique project?
Brazil requirement is small only comparatively, but based on the original FID approval, Mozambique, the project cost is around 14.5. Our share out is 1.45.
So 2 billion.
2 billion.
Around 2 billion would be Mozambique and 1 billion would be Brazil at a very at a broad level actually.
All right. Thank you so much for giving me the opportunity. Appreciate it.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vipul Kumar Shah from Sumangal Investment. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Can you give the inventory gain in the marketing segment, because I have not received your handouts?
For this quarter, the marketing inventory gains is 1497 crore, whereas compared to same quarter previous year, it is minus 384. And for the full 6 months, it is 427 crore for this year, whereas previous year, it is 755 for half year.
Plus. Okay. Okay, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is on the line of Amit from Axis Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, good afternoon. Just on CAPEX, You mentioned that the five-year plan is about 150,000 crores, but I believe FY24 capex is just about 10,000 crores. So when can we expect the capex to actually scale up to a higher number to kind of achieve that five-year plan?
So you see, out of 1.5 lakh crore, the major project is Bina Petrochemical Complex. Definitely, year one, the capex outlay is very small only, maybe around 600, 700 crore for Bina. But the peak capex will happen from year three onwards, maybe from 24, 25, 25, 26 onwards, significant capex you are going to see.
Yeah, so if let's say next 2 or 3 years is only 10-15,000 crores, so does it mean that it will be like a 50,000 crore capex in year 4, year 5?
Maybe from year 3 onwards, actually the capex jump will happen. Maybe year 3, maybe rough numbers somewhere around 20,000 crore plus, after that 30, and peak year will be year 5.
Okay, sure. And all of these are board approved projects, just to kind of clarify?
Major projects board is approved. Certain renewables related projects we are just working on it. So some of the projects have to be approved by the board. But overall capital outlay estimations are 150,000. Out of which refinery, petrochemicals, Bina is approved. And BPRL already board has approved. And CGD around 26,000 board has approved. Around 1,10,000 crore already board has approved the projects.
Okay, thanks for that detail. And also small data question, how much would the PDPP project be contributing Kochi refinery now, that given the discount, I guess, would be stabilized and all?
PDPP in terms of physicals, it is operating at 73%, good improvement in terms of plant reliability issue. And in terms of the profitability, it has added around $0.55 per barrel in terms of the GRM, but still it is not sufficient to meet the operating expenditure of the PDPP. So we need some more improvement in terms of profitability of PDPP. But otherwise, at this point of time, in terms of physical performance, it has reached certain milestones. But profitability, this quarter, even in the last quarter also, due to the price margins are very low in terms of petrochemicals. So this quarter also, PDPP, whatever GRM we have generated is not sufficient to meet the expenses.
Okay, got it. Thanks. That's all from my side.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vishnu Kumar from Avendus Spark. Please go ahead.
Good evening and thanks for your time. So just wanted to understand the OPEX cost per barrel across the three refineries, which could help us understand.
Generally, OPEX, it ranges from $1.8 to $2.1. On an average, you can take all three refineries put together closer to $2 this quarter.
Specifically for Bina, there is a pipeline-related income and expenses, right? So it should be, if considering that, it will be higher, if you could help understand that.
No, even for Bina pipeline-related, nothing is there because Bina pipeline, we have added to our pipeline group, not to the refinery. If you see, Bina refinery, the operating expenditure for July to September is $4 mainly because the throughput is low this quarter. Because due to shutdown of almost 40 days shutdown, the operating expenses are on higher side. Otherwise, if you see the 6 months average for Bina, April to June, it is $1.84. July to September, it is $4. Generally, it will be in the range of $2 only. But only during this quarter, the refinery was shut down, the throughput is not there, and the operating expenditure is $4.
So this, the pipeline-related income and expenditure, it will go to the marketing side, is it? It's not part of
the pipeline division. It's part of pipeline division.
Okay.
After the merger, after the Bina merger, it's part of pipeline division.
It is pipeline division. Anyways, so in our EBITDA, when we report, since you have some GRM balances between pipeline and marketing.
Yeah, sure, definitely.
Understood, sir. And this 22,000 crores debt number, if you could, sir, help us understand where this number in terms of different entities, where exactly these numbers are sitting, that will be a little helpful.
22,000 crore is in standalone only. When we talk about group borrowings at consolidated 48,000 crore, the major borrowings of around 24,000 crore is for BPRL, one of our subsidiary. There, the entire investments are in exploration blocks, mainly for Mozambique and Brazil. So the total borrowings at BPR level is around 20?
BPR level is 25,000.
25,000 crore. Standalone is 22, BPR level is 25. These two are the major borrowings.
Okay.
on top of the other 8,000, which is India's adjustments, is also sitting only in the standalone.
Yeah, yeah, that is only ROI liability. It's only a ROI liability.
The next couple of years, if would you think the capex and I know EBITDA is a volatile number, but at least your estimates, you're going to match your cash flows and capex, or how should we look at it?
Well, cash flow will not match with the capex number definitely, but we have to take certain leverage, but reasonable leverage. We have to take more borrowings when the capex is peaking at year 3, year 4. There we have certain plans of taking borrowings. But at least based on our understanding of cash flow and maintaining reasonable debt equity levels, we can complete these projects.
But meaning year 3, year 4, we are at FY24. So 26 or 27, 28, you are expecting higher...
Peak capex. When the peak capex happens, our cash flows, generally the incremental cash flows only comes after the commissioning of the project. But during that interim period, definitely our cash flow will be at a normal level, whereas our capex numbers are at very high level.
Sir, if you can help us understand what will be the normalized number and peak number of rough cash flow payout over the next couple of years, what would be the number?
We cannot give any guidance on the normal numbers because everything depends on your crude prices, margins, cracks, many things are influencing on these numbers. We don't provide any guidance.
Got it, sir. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nitin Tiwari from Philip Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi sir, good evening. Thanks for the opportunity. Sir, my question is related to the green hydrogen project that you mentioned that you'll be putting up 5 MMT of the capacity. So is that capacity for internal consumption, or there would also be a commercial distribution of this hydrogen? Related to that, what's our current hydrogen consumption?
Okay, there are two projects we are taking up for hydrogen. One is at Bina Refinery, 5 megawatt. That is purely for our internal consumption. One more plant we want to have at Cochin International Airport. That is for public purpose, where we can refuel the buses, certain buses. But that is a very small plant, or refueling can happen.
So the Kochi plant is a very small plant. You're saying the 5 MMT plant you mentioned, the green hydrogen plant is for internal consumption.
Internal consumption, right, right.
So what are the hydrogen consumption across three refineries right now?
We will share separately.
Sure, sir. And sir, a clarificatory question. You mentioned that your current carbon emission is about 10 million tons, right? Which will go up to 16 million tons with the new projects. So the investment that you mentioned to mitigate this was 1 lakh crores. Is that the right number that I...
That is just a ballpark number. We have to yet to finalize the project and we have to assess the project cost. But otherwise, roughly, this is the range we have to invest.
The capex that we have planned, the 150,000 crore capex, does that not build in at least for the new projects of concomitant sort of carbon mitigation cost as well? Because these are the new projects we'll be putting ahead, coming up in future. So might as well build in the carbon mitigation cost as well and then assess the projects.
We have started around 12,000 crore for the carbon mitigation renewable projects in the 150,000 crore. But all other projects, we said our target is by 2040 we want to make it net zero. So still we have time so that we can allocate certain funds subsequently after 3-4 years, not now.
Right. And lastly, sir, in terms of refining capacity, are we going to look at any expansion of refining capacity going ahead from here, or will we be operating at these levels? Because I'm asking this question in the perspective of the carbon mitigation and the green measures that all is often being spoken about. So do you foresee that this refining capacity would be sufficient to meet our requirement for petroleum products, or do you foresee a need for expansion of refining capacity as well going on?
So one of our projects already, Bina Petrochemical Complex, includes a little bit increase of our refining capacity. So there our refining capacity we are taking from 7.8 MMT to almost 11.2 or 11.3. So there a little bit refining additional capacity will come from Bina. In other refineries, as of date, we are not planning any expense at this point of time. We are working towards because we have a little bit deficit in terms of marketing requirement and refinery throughput at this point of time. So we are working on it. How do we bridge this gap between our refining capacity and market requirements? We are not at finalizing anything.
Sure, Sure, sir. Thanks. That's all from me.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Saket Kapoor from Kapoor & Co. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Namaskar, sir, and thank you for the opportunity. Am I audible, sir?
Yeah, yeah. You are audible.
Yeah. Yes. Sir, firstly, regarding the advanced tax part, I missed your comment, sir. We had made a higher tax payment in the cash flow. So what should we take into account? What were you referring to, if you could repeat, sir?
So I'm saying, and the balance sheet, the current tax liability is March 23, it is zero, whereas September 23, we are showing as a 4,300 crore. Just I am explaining why this difference. In March 23, if you see 22-23, the profitability, if you see, the profits are very low. So there the tax liability almost we have settled with the advance tax payouts, whereas current year the advance tax payment is lesser than our tax obligations as of 30th September. That is the reason it has created a current tax liability in the balance sheet.
Okay. So when we take this 1,848 crore under the cash flow as direct tax paid, this amount is pertaining to our income, income pertaining to for this year only, or does it contain any prior period item?
22-23 year ka, whatever tax liability, those tax liabilities we have settled against advance tax almost. That is the reason there is no current tax liability.
So this amount is 45% of what the liability has to be. As on 15th September, we have to clear 45%
of our tax liability. Whereas we have not paid full advance tax liability, we have to wait and see full year, then accordingly we will settle the full tax liabilities.
Okay, sir. And for the capex part, sir, we are also setting up, I think, so oxy alcohol plant. What is the update on the same, sir, and how much capex is being involved for the same?
There is no such oxy alcohol new plant. Already in the PDPP complex, there is a plant. We have two segments. One is acrylates and oxoalcohol. Both the plants are there. We don't have any plan of putting up a new plant for oxoalcohol separately.
Okay, so no, sir, currently we are selling, I think, so the PP raw material to some of the oxoalcohol players. So okay, are we directly competing? Are we competing against now with the end product also? That will be from our side.
No, we have a plan. But the feed available is much more than the plant requirement. That is the reason we are selling into the market, the PP. So we are not planning any new plants for oxoalcohols.
Oh, okay, sir. And lastly, sir, to the as the other investment people have also mentioned about the distribution of the profits to the investing community. So taking into account what the first half we have reported numbers, is it in the likelihood that we will adhere to the DIPAM policy of distributing cash to your investors either in the form of a buyback or dividend payout, or is the right issue coming up is counterproductive to that view? How should one read into these profitabilities and your rights issue and the DIPAM policy? How should we align all these factors?
I can brief about BPCL. Even if you see in the last couple of years, we have always distributed dividend as a percentage of profit with good reasonable numbers. And our endeavor always to comply with our DIPAM guidelines and as well as our own internal dividend distribution policy. It's only a timing, what time we distribute the dividend, and generally we give a good amount as interim and balance amount as final. As a practice, we give good amount, reasonable amounts as dividend as distribution.
Sir. But sir, for tax incidence purpose, if we are coming up with dividend payout and then coming up with rights issue, how do these two things gelled up, sir? If you declare dividend on the tax discipline fund, we as investors will be paying tax on the same, and then you come up with a rights issue, we participate again with the amount. So why not a tax neutral exercise being done? If you have proposed a rights issue, how do dividend payout work, sir? That is my point, boss.
We have taken your suggestions. Accordingly, appropriate time will come out.
Fine. Thank you for this opportunity, sir, and all the best to the team. And we hope for the continuity of these calls, sir. These are very helpful for investment.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Vartharajan Shivashankaran from Antique Stockbroking. Please go ahead.
Yes, I just have a question on this LPG surplus we are carrying in the suspension account. Is there any discussion around that? Is there a possibility that this can be set off again under recovery on petroleum diesel which you had in 2023?
No such discussion. The practice is continuing what is being done in earlier years.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Mayank Maheshwari from Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir. So just a follow-up question here. I just want to check when you were talking about the carbon investments. When you are putting up these new investments of almost 150,000 crores or so, what are you taking into account in terms of your return calculations on the carbon tax in your numbers? Is there a rough range that you can kind of help us with?
We are not taking any carbon tax numbers in the returns calculation. Only what we have worked out is that what is the current carbon emissions, what is our obligations in terms of reducing carbon emissions, and in terms of what is the capital outlay required. That capital outlay requirement is much beyond this 1.5 lakh crore. This 1.5 lakh crore only for the announced projects. For carbon emissions of around 15 or 16 MMT carbon emissions, we need additional capital outlay of maybe 95 to 1 lakh crore. So we are not factoring any carbon tax in our existing projects.
Got it. Clear. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Amit Rustagi from UBS. Please go ahead.
Sir, good afternoon and thanks for giving me the opportunity. Sir, as per some market commentaries, GAIL was considering to merge some of their city gas assets with IGL, where BPCL is also one of the shareholders and a joint venture partner. So do you think that this kind of moves are possible, and are you also considering to merge some of your city gas distribution companies with the larger players to monetize them?
If we are not forcing any such need at this point of time.
So there is no proposal similar to this kind of, material idea?
No.
Okay, sir, got it. And sir, second question relates to the current, spreads with respect to the crude. So which are the most opportunistic crudes we see as of now? Because in the last 1 year, there is significant change in the discounts on the crude which are available to the Indian refineries. So which crude, as per you, is the most profitable as of now, right now?
You see, today we are almost processing around 108 grades of crude. It all depends on what pricing they offer when we go to the market and purchase. So every crude is important, every crude gives value. Only thing at the particular point of month, in case which crude gives more commercial offers, then accordingly we take the decision in the process. Otherwise, our refineries can take almost 108 grades of crude. So every month we go to the market for any spot requirements. We assess which grades or which suppliers can give more commercial offers, then accordingly we decide.
Okay, but you will agree that the discounts have come down from the previous levels?
Depends. Market sometimes it gives more discounts, sometimes it gives lesser discounts, but directionally, yes, what you are observing is right.
Okay, great, sir. Sir, thanks for this, and wish you all the best and a happy Diwali.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, as there are no further questions, on behalf of Antique Stock Broking, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.